We've been talking politics. We're going to talk about the governor's proposed budget. Mark, when you look at this, a lot of the people we've talked to believe that it cuts education, it cuts things for poor people too much. Do you agree or disagree with that?
I do agree with that, actually. when you think about the way this this budget was balanced, it is, I believe, it exceeds even the Granholm tax increase in the way that it balances the budget. And actually, the governor opened up his remarks by saying these things should have been done, decades ago, basically, saying that either under Blanchard or Engler or Granholm, some of the things he was proposing should have been accomplished. And I have to say that after reviewing the budget that we were provided, which is pretty sparse, as Rick will tell you, this is a different type of approach than I think I've ever seen before. And when you look at this, $900 million on pensioners, which is, elimination of the exemption for public and even private pensions above or below a certain amount. That is the bulk of the change that is made here. In addition to that, the elimination of at least part of the homestead tax credit is about a $320 million tax increase on people who own their homes. The EITC, which is the low-income tax credit that we provide, that's in addition to the federal tax credit. And the governor said, we have the federal tax credit and we don't need this Michigan tax credit to go with it, but these have been pretty hard times. And this has helped keep people in their homes and their families being fed, even though they're low-income workers. They are working. You have to be working to get this thing. And that one is about $340 million. So, right there, you make up the $1.5 billion deficit that we faced this year. And then when you top that off with a business tax cut of about $1.8 billion, we have basically balanced this. And on top of that, when you look at the way that we've carved up the budget this time, we actually have, a number of departments that are actually getting increases. The total increase for there's a total increase for corrections and human services and judiciary and the MSP, although it's a small increase of $1 million. So some of these major cuts that sort of were alluded to, I'm not finding there. I'm finding a gigantic tax increase. I'm not seeing the restructuring of the agencies that I thought we were going to get when we got this governor.
Rick, when we look at this budget, I still have a hard time understanding why it costs us $10,000 more per prisoner to house a prisoner here in Michigan as opposed to Indiana. I can't understand how we're going to cut education. I can understand some of the other programs. What's your take on what you've seen from the governor's proposal?
Okay, what's key is it is a proposal. And now the Senate and the House get to work on it. I'm sure that it will not be the same. There are things in it that trouble me, things in it that I like. Now, certainly, MDOC, Department of Corrections, must be cut. The budget is out of whack, and that's going to happen. I am concerned about the pension credit going away. I probably am going to have a difference of opinion on that one, although I would make public pensions the same as private pensions. I don't think they should be any better as far as a credit.
And when we talk about education, do you think that your constituents are going to allow that to happen, to be cut?
Well, the governor and his advisors, I went to the session where he talked about the proposal, and they mentioned if teachers were to pay into their health insurance what somebody does in a private business, it could probably pretty easily balance the situation. And so I think we need to take a strong look at that. We also need to look at the pension. Last year I called for all new teachers to go to a 401k. And not the teachers that are there now, because they've been made a promise. But I think there's things we can do.
Mark, we're going to get your take on this in just a second. Rick, I want to ask your take. As someone who has a retired GM worker as an in-law, as someone who has a best friend who is a probation officer, someone who has a best friend who is a teacher, boy, you start talking to them about taking away what they have. When it comes to the bennies that they have, and when it comes to the retirement packages that they have, and state workers and other unions. But it seems like the word out on the streets when you talk to people is, hey, those days are gone. You got a great deal then. We can't afford to do that now, especially if taxpayers are paying for it.
You know, absolutely. The senators and the reps took a 10% pay cut January 1. We have 401ks, the big retirement entitlement packages are gone. You know, I have a bill in. We need to get rid of lifetime health benefits in retirement. Changes have to be made.
Mark, what do you think about the possibility? Well, it looks like it's inevitable now, but of these great pension packages, these great bennies that teachers, that state employees, that other unions have been enjoying, they're really up in arms because they don't want to lose that. What's your take on that?
Well, I'm not sure they can lose it, to tell you the truth, Tony. I think, you know, we have to go forward, and that's how we – sorry – we made changes last year. The package that we put together for employees of school districts in the state of Michigan last year and passed through the House and the Senate, although I'll note that I voted against it for reasons other than as follows anyway, put together what we call a hybrid retirement pension. And what it does is it combines a defined benefit with a defined contribution pension. And that is what retirement systems and people who run those systems across the country are going to. When we went to the DC system, what we didn't anticipate is what happens at the other end. And with a declining economy and a bad market, how people could exhaust those funds so rapidly. And so they end up on the public dole anyway. And so we end up paying at the end. So what they've gone to is this combined system. What we did for teachers last year is exactly what we do across the country in the most modern way that we approach this.
If they got these benefits, these packages, through collective bargaining, they got them fair and square. But if the state can't afford to pick up the tab anymore, and if taxpayers think that it's unfair that these people are getting benefits that they can't get, yet the taxpayers pay for it, is that fair?
Yeah, I think it's fair. I'll tell you what, it was a contract, and we honor contracts in this country. And then there's one other part of this. I know that the governor alluded to this, but the simple fact is our pension system is very healthy. We don't have a problem with our pension. You know, we have to make contributions to it pursuant to federal and state law, pursuant to our Constitution. But it hasn't been expanding exponentially, and it's been earning a boatload of money in the last couple of years anyway. It went down during the bad times and has come right back up. So I'm not worried about our pension. The cost that's killing us is the cost of retiree health care. And in fact, if you talk about teachers, the cost of their, on a per-person basis, the cost of their retiree health care is half that of regular state employees. It's an issue that we have to address, and it should be addressed through the collective bargaining that we're beginning right now, but it's an issue that could save the state a lot of money as we go forward.